Welcome to episode 54 of the True Romance Film Podcast. I am your host, Barry, and I am joined, as always, by my Metamucil drinking, arthritis having, over the hill co-host, Hyro. What's up, buddy?
What's up, brother? Yeah, I'm feeling it, man. I'm getting old. Things are starting to break down.
How's your L3 doing?
I don't know what that is. Is that like a...
That's one of your...
Oh, the back, the vertebrae? You know, actually, I do have a bulging disc. I'm so old.
Go.
I got a bulging disc. I got planted. I got a mess, dude. I'm just a hot fucking mess. But just me and you tonight, buddy. No guest.
Excited.
Yeah. No guest. It's back to the old school. It's time for us to catch up and you know, focus on each other.
Reconnect. We need to reconnect a little bit, I think. So.
Yeah. But... no better movie to reconnect than with While We're Young, the new Noah Baumbach film, which is Noah Baumbach films have become like the what Avengers and Star Wars and Superman is to the general public. Noah Baumbach films are to hipsters and movie cinephile douches.
I agree.
Yep, I mean, they turn out in droves for this cat shit. They worship at the feet of Mr. Noah Baumbach. So
are you one of those worshipers?
Oh shit! I couldn't tell you another Noah Baumbach film if I fucking tried. Without IMDb, I can't tell you another Noah Baumbach film. Okay. Did he do Francis Ha?
He did do Francis Ha.
Oh, then I want to throw the phone at him. Fuck him.
I fucking hate that movie so much.
It's not good, and people love that shit. But along with that, we're pairing that with a top and bottom five of characters who are trying to fit in, who are really trying to fit in with the group, kind of like Ben Stiller and Naomi Watts' characters are trying to do with the young crowd.
Yeah, they're trying to. A tiger can't change his stripes. That's what our list is about tonight. So,
no, sir. No, they cannot. But with that, why don't we talk about what beers we're drinking, bro? Because I am proud of my beers.
I'm ready, buddy.
Plural. So why don't I lead the way?
Oh, do it.
I actually am. I got three beers for tonight, and I'm calling this my hipster training, training pack. So what I, you know, I have two beers that are organic, is the Peak Organic Ginger Beer. Ginger something.
I don't even
beer.
Think that's actually a beer. Like that's a bunch of made up jargon.
And then
peak,
I have
Peak or Peach.
Peak. P-E-A-K.
Okay. I thought you
and
said
then
peach.
I have Organic Hive Honey Ale, which is the one I started with.
That actually sounds pretty good.
It's not. It's like almost flat. Like, does organic mean take out the bubbles?
It means it doesn't work. That's what it means.
You know, I went to WrestleMania a few years ago, and I was in line for beer, and the line was fucking through the roof. And then I look over, and there was this like shorter line. So I was like, let me go to the shorter line. Turns out the shorter line was for a gluten-free beer, and I didn't know that until I started drinking it, and it was one of the most horrible experiences of my life. Just terrible beer.
I agree.
But the third beer of my hipster training pack is the official beer of the hipster, the Pabst Blue Ribbon, a 16-ounce tall boy that I've got ready and waiting.
That's so bad.
I'm excited. I'm gonna start wearing my little fedora hat, my Ray-Bans, and I don't know.
You're like a retro leather jacket that you find in a thrift shop?
Yeah. So what about you, buddy? What are you drinking tonight?
All right, so... So I already put my beer up on Twitter, and what I'm drinking is a Sam Adams Rebel IPA, it's a West Coast style brewed for the Revolution. And
you lazy fucker.
Yeah, this doesn't tie in at all. I did have a beer that was brewed in New York City. Obviously, that's where While We're Young takes place, but I must have drank it at dinner because the wife brought me up a beer for dinner and just poured it in my pint glass. So I was just drinking it, you know. I didn't ask what it was, and I'm pretty sure that's what
bastard.
It was. What it was? I had one. I just, you know, now I don't. So
no guessing. You can't even come with a proper beer. You're a disgrace.
You know, like they're kind of like Ben Stiller's kind of rebelling against the status quo by becoming a old hipster. Maybe that. No,
I'm done with you.
Okay,
you're just
I tried.
All right, man. So. Why don't we get into what we've been watching then, man? It's been a kind of a crazy week for me, so I got some stuff I want to talk about, but why don't you lead the way, bro? What you been watching this week?
All right, I'll lead the way. So I got two movies that I want to talk about. So the first one I saw was, I seen this actually a few weeks ago, but I figured I'd talk about it now, Cinderella from this year, from 2015.
Nice.
Yeah, it was the wife's birthday. My in-laws were in town, and she said she wanted to go see a movie. So we went to see Cinderella. So this is obviously the directed by Kenneth Branagh, starring Lily James, Cate Blanchett, Richard Madden, and others. It's good. I mean, it's Cinderella. You know, I don't want to poo-poo it. It's just a very straightforward telling of Cinderella. I liked it. I thought that Cate Blanchett was pitch perfect as the wicked stepmother. Like, she kind of really played up a little bit of kind of the cartoon evilness without going over the line, I thought.
I love her, man. I think she's a great actress, dude. She's fucking...
She's very good. I will say, this was kind of one of the things. I actually had kind of a cute movie-going experience, I think, again. So, there wasn't... I mean, this movie had been out for a few weeks, so it wasn't very crowded when we went. And behind us, in the row behind us, but all the way on the end, we kind of sat in the middle, was like a little girl with her family. And she must have been maybe 5 or 6. So she was watching with her mom and dad, and it was kind of funny because there were two things that kind of happened that I thought were funny. The first one was really cute when the fairy godmother shows up and changes Cinderella's dress into that big fancy ball gown dress, and it's all pretty and stuff. She just started clapping and like, yay! So I just thought that was really like kind of cute and funny. It made me think of my little girl when she gets that big.
I would have told her to shut the hell up and quit yelling in the movie theater.
And then the other one, there's kind of a point near the end of this movie where kind of Cate Blanchett is kind of giving the reasons of the way she is, you know, and it's kind of maybe her showing her evil side a little bit, but you know, there might be some, you know, obviously bad events that have happened to her that kind of made her this way, but she kind of goes on this tirade and essentially locks Cinderella in this tower. When she kind of slams the door, the little girl goes, "The end." And I just thought if that would have been the end of Cinderella, that would have been a much different movie.
Someone should punish this child. Someone should have just taken this child out and punished her.
She's a little girl, man. She's watching Cinderella. Like, you know, she doesn't need to be quiet during a kid's movie. Like, you don't expect people to be quiet during, like, I don't know. Like,
quit running your trap, kid.
Well, I don't know. So I saw Cinderella. I thought it was pretty good. I give this a 7 out of 10.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and the other one that I want to talk about is Tusk from, I believe, last year.
I really wanted to see this.
You've not seen Tusk yet?
Not yet. Where is it on Netflix? Where is it?
It's on Amazon Prime. You can stream it on Amazon Prime. Yeah, if you got Amazon Prime, yeah.
Get mad. You know what I meant.
No, I'm just saying. No, it's... Well, because you know there are things that are on Amazon Prime that are free, and there's things that you can rent. So it's streaming for free on Prime. So this is obviously the Kevin Smith movie. Starring Justin Long, Michael Parks, Haley Joel Osment, and a few other people. Dude, I really kind of like this movie.
Really?
Like, I was pretty shocked. Yeah. Michael Parks is so good in it. I really thought he was amazing. There's a lot of good kind of dialogue in this movie. I think Kevin Smith's kind of known a little bit for his dialogue. Like, he's not quite as good as Tarantino, but he definitely, you know, his movies are wordy.
Yeah.
Justin Long does kind of play like a dickhead, but... You know, I mean,
a podcaster dickhead, isn't it?
I sympathize with him. So I kind of liked him, but this movie, I liked about 70% of it.
Okay,
I'll say maybe 75% of it, and then Johnny Depp shows up. Yeah, it just, I think it kind of fits into what the movie's doing, but it's just so much that it kind of takes away. So, because of that, I'm going to give this movie a 7 out of 10 because I liked about 70% of it. So I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10. There's a visual of Justin Long in this movie that is it's up there, man. I mean, it's one of the craziest things I've ever seen in film.
Really? Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll watch this and then talk about it next week with you, bro.
All right. Yeah, man. It's pretty good. So that's all for me, man. Cinderella and Tusk.
Cool. All right, so I've had a busy week. Actually, I'm kind of dealing with a little bit of a hangover, man. I went out last night with old Optimus Solo and Handy Candy Mandy.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man. That's Kevin and Amanda from the Weekend at the Movies podcast, and I got shit canned with them. So I'm trying to show them a good time here in Tampa. They were awesome. They came up and visited, and fuck, man. I there's a part of the whole night that I just don't even remember. That's the kind of evening it was. But that's, I had a great time with them. Yeah. Also had one of those moments where I fell down in the bar. Not good.
No. Oh, you were that?
I tripped. Yeah, I tripped. Well, I tried to take an extra step, and you know, in my old age, you can't take that extra step anymore. I just fucking face planted, like full on face planted, like both hands on the ground. It was not good. Shame. Yeah. So, yeah, about that. So, I got one movie to talk about. And it is The Station Agent from 2003. So last week you talked about Bobby Cannavale's character and how it kind of like reminded you of me.
Yes.
And I kind of see where you're going with this because he's he's very charming. He's excessively talky. He's always wearing Miami gear. He's got that joie de vivre type of thing that, you know, they just won't shut the fuck up, really.
And he's going to pull you in. And he's like yelling at people down the road, like, oh, come back.
Sincere. I love sincere. This character. Yeah, he didn't care. He's just like, I'm going to be me. Just like, hey, come on. I'm going to make you some pork chops and some black beans and rice. Come on, sit down, whatever.
Yes.
But I really enjoyed this movie, dude. I really did. And so it's got Peter Dinklage, Patricia Clarkson, Bobby Cannavale, Michelle Williams, and John Slattery. You know who directed it, wrote and directed this? Mr. Thomas McCarthy, Dr. Bob from Meet the Parents.
Oh, wow.
You know, younger Dr. Bob. He actually wrote and directed this. Nice. So yeah, I liked it a lot. By the way, Finbar is probably the dumbest name to give a character though.
We were going to name our second kid that if it was a boy.
Stop your lies. Finbar. But, I understand why he wants to be alone and why he's so, you know, down or whatever. Because he's kind of like, you know, constantly the butt of the dwarf jokes and all that kind of crap.
He's almost like a sideshow everywhere he goes.
Yeah, everywhere he goes. Yeah. I mean, like, people are pointing and staring. Or at the worst, they're completely openly mocking him. Right. At the least, they just kind of stare awkwardly. You know, like, oh, there goes the little guy. And obviously Olivia, Patricia Clarkson's character is dealing with a lot with the death of her son, et cetera, which I couldn't imagine losing a child the way she does, you know, falling or whatever off of the monkey bars or whatever it is. But the thing about this film is, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the friendship and I enjoyed how Bobby Cannavale's character, Joe, kind of, he's like full of life and he doesn't give up and he grows on them and he kind of brings them back.
Right.
But my problem was more with the Peter Dinklage character, Finbar. Like, I understand. I sympathize and I empathize with him. But after a while, it becomes tiresome. That whole thing that he's... That downer thing becomes tiresome. In a movie, it becomes really... It's just grating. I mean, it just... Right. It gets old after a while. Like, come on, man. What the fuck? He's just so quiet, so staring. He's doing fine. I mean, Peter Dinklage is a very good actor, and he's doing okay with it. But I would have thought that I would have liked if the screenwriter would have given him a little bit more to do. Like, just a little bit.
He's just so quiet and pouty.
Yeah, he's just so quiet and pouty. Yeah. It just becomes old after a while. Right. But it's not a knock because I understand what he's trying to do. Like, I understand the reasons and the purpose for it, but it does become grating. So, either way, this is still a really good movie, a nice one-time watch, something I probably wouldn't share with a lot of people, but I'm really glad I watched. So, I'll give this a 7 out of 10. So today I rewatched Man of Steel, the great Man of Steel.
Because I saw you tweeting pictures of the shirtless Henry Cavill.
Dude,
that dude was monstrously jacked.
I'm over here like looking up personal trainers after watching that. I was so shamed.
Just doing push-ups. Come on.
Yeah.
I can get there.
Just one more fucking burpee, please, God. What spurned that on is obviously the Batman versus Superman trailer coming out. And,
right, yes.
And if we could talk about that for a second, dude.
I still got an erection. I mean, I don't know.
Yes, I did. It got me thinking about like all these superhero films and stuff. Like Avengers trailer comes out. All these other like properties that they're just dumping on us. I really don't give a fuck. Like, I just, they don't move me at all. Like, I don't care. However, when I see Superman Batman movie or the Star Wars trailer that came out, I get animated. I get geeky. I just go crazy about it because I have that nostalgic connection to it. You know, these are things from my youth. Like when I was a kid, I didn't give a fuck about the X-Men or I never even heard of Guardians of the Galaxy until last year. So I don't give a shit. I just don't care about these. Like if you put out a good movie, great. I'll watch it. We'll talk about it. Fine. But I'm not going to flip the hell out over the Avengers trailer because Avengers, I watched it once and it was good. Okay, great. you know, move along. I even have the Blu-ray. I've never put it in. It doesn't appeal to me. However, Man of Steel, I probably watched 30 times. I throw it on in the background while I'm cooking. I show it to my daughter today. I have that that connection with those characters. So maybe that's what it is, dude. I just can't get on board with this excessive love for superhero films.
Well, I think it's your thing, right? Superman's your thing. So anytime you're going to see him in a movie, you're going to be more excited than you would be another character that you're not as big of a fan of. And I think that's fair. But I agree, man. I'm in the same boat. I saw you kind of tweeted me the trailer, and I was like, man, I thought it was really interesting. It's cool. It looks dark. There's a lot of stuff going on. I was kind of excited about it. And then the same thing with the Star Wars trailer. I actually didn't see the Star Wars trailer till later that night when it came out.
Yeah.
I kind of saw the reaction on Twitter and the excessive, just
people were falling on themselves,
People were talking about crying, all this other stuff. I mean, it's a good trailer, but
you would have thought
man.
They saw Jesus on some toast or something, man.
He came back, buddy.
Crazy.
He came back. JC walked in the door. Apparently, I missed it, but
with a lightsaber in his hand.
But I was excited about that. But I agree, man. With this stuff, like the Avengers coming out, I couldn't care. And they're pitching that out with the Civil War and all that.
Sure. Just put a good movie out. Yeah,
I'll go see it when it comes out, but I'm not counting the days like I am to Batman.
Mad Max is another one. I just don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Well, Mad Max, I'm more excited about, but not as much as Batman.
No, it looks cool. Yeah. The trailer looks cool. I'm obviously kind of wary, if they'll be able to live up to the hype of that trailer, because the trailer is all visuals and all frenetic. You know what I mean?
That trailer's intense.
But a movie, imagine that over 2 hours. It's not going to happen. You cannot do it for two hours. A, too expensive, and B, there's no plot. So it just can't happen. But I I'll give it a shot. I'll watch it, but I'm not freaking the hell out over it. And I just, you know, the thing with the superhero films is a lot of them are the same. It's the same plot. World in danger, hero comes to save. Okay, got it. You know, it's over and over and over. So it just becomes very repetitive, man. And just, unless I have a connection with it, and I'm assuming it's like the people who really love this stuff, they like to see their heroes on screen, that's what gets them off, and that's cool, man, by all means. But it just doesn't, for me, that isn't the big big draw like it is for others. But those two trailers, they look cool. The Star Wars one probably better than the Superman one, but neither one has really given us much. They're just showing visuals of kind of like the aesthetics and stuff like that. That costumes and shit.
No plot. That's what I want. Yeah, don't show me the climax of the movie. Yeah, just
perfect.
I like it. I'm right there with you.
Cool, man. So. That's everything I've been watching this week, brother. So I need another beer. My organic is gone. I need to go hug a tree.
You have alfalfa sprouts coming out of your rectum right now?
I'm about to mix my beer with some wheatgrass, kind of ground up.
Like a little kale. Throw a little kale in the blender, a little beer.
There you go. All right, bro. Disgusting. Let's take a break and come back and get into our top and bottom list of characters we're trying to fit in.
Oh, I'm excited. We got a good one.
All right, well, since we don't have a guest this week, I can't just ping somebody and ask them if they've ever listened to the In Session Film podcast.
You can't put them on the spot?
No, I can't. And that's one of my favorite things to do is just fucking just kind of make people uncomfortable when they come on the show. Like, hey, are you listening to this? Or, you know, take my shirt off while I'm recording, that kind of thing. But we just want to take a little second to let all of our listeners know, all two of them, to go check out the In Session Film podcast. If you like this show, you may like theirs. I believe that they're a little more serious than we are about their film criticism.
A little less cursing.
A little, maybe a little more in depth. They actually care about the reviews that they're doing. Yeah. But great show over there. JD, Matt, and Brendan putting together some great stuff. So, you know, go check out InSessionFilm.com. Google them. They're on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud. Their fucking thing is everywhere. So go check them out.
Yeah, I agree. Good podcast, fellas.
All right, and we are back, and we are ready. We're excited. We're drinking hippie beer, and we're going to do our top and bottom characters who are trying to fit in, who are really just, you know, trying to break into maybe a new clique or a new kind of crew, and going to a lot of lengths to do it, man. So I'm on top this week, so I'm going to, my list is kind of geared towards success. Like,
okay.
Are they successful at breaking through? Any criteria that you had, brother?
No, I mean, I think I kind of the opposite of what you did. I mean, I kind of had people that like, are trying to break in and they don't really work, or what they're doing is just kind of so embarrassing that even if it comes out on top that, you know, it's not worth it. So you all right, buddy?
I just to kind of update, dude, like I just broke that Peaks ginger beer, whatever.
Yeah.
Wow. That is bad.
Time to get the cranberita, my friend. That's the hipster choice for the night. Cranberitas. Oh
boy, that is really bad, man. I had a couple of I have one criteria. I want to know undercover movies. So not somebody who's
okay.
going undercover to do it. Right. And this is trying to fit into a crew, like trying to meld into something. This isn't like Precious trying to fit into her clothes. This is this is like somebody like trying to, you know,
to be
fish out of water.
Not. Yeah, you're trying to hang with a cool crowd in most cases.
Okay.
Okay.
So why don't you take the pole position this week, and I'll lead us off, and I'll start with my number five.
Sounds good.
From 1988, and we have Tom Hanks as Josh Baskin in Big.
Oh, nice.
This is a classic for me, dude. Like, I remember growing up watching this, and it was, like, my mom loved it. We all sat around and watched this film, and here Tom Hanks is a 14-year-old kid, maybe? I don't know. He's a young buck, yeah. And he, you know, makes a wish and it becomes big. He becomes an adult suddenly overnight. And he's kind of got to fit into the world. He's got to go corporate, you know. And he ends up living up living out the dream of every child, where you get to be the vice president of some giant toy company and your job is to play toys all day. But he's successful at it. I mean, he's what? Maybe not even a teenager, 12, 13 years old, and he's over there rounding. He's having sex with old Elizabeth Perkins. Okay, you made it, buddy. Good job.
You're living it out, buddy.
Oh yeah, and this is kind of like where Tom Hanks made his turn. You know, like he started going from Bosom Buddies and Splash and that kind of thing. And you know, this is kind of like I want to say he was nominated for this, dude.
Really? Okay. I've seen it. I don't remember that, but yeah, I mean this movie does kind of toe that line between comedy and kind of a drama. I mean, there's definitely some more dramatic elements than his first couple movies he was in. Excellent choice. That's a perfect choice, because the whole reason he wants to be big is because people are picking on him, right?
Like, yeah.
He can't write. Yeah. So I like it. Very good choice. No, nice. All right. So my number five is from a movie that I don't really love, but it gets a lot of credit. I mean, I think it's okay, and that's The Hangover from 2009. Have you seen this?
I have seen it.
Yeah, so Alan is played by Zach Galifianakis. He's kind of this weird outsider. He kind of gives a weird speech in the beginning of this wolf pack thing, but he is so into Bradley Cooper that he basically begins to mimic his movements, like his speech, everything like that. So he's trying so hard to be Bradley Cooper's best friend that he just begins to pantomime him essentially throughout the movie. And that's, you know, it's not very charming. It's a little creepy and it comes off as such. And Alan's just kind of a weird loser. So, you know, that's not a good choice and a good decision to try to fit in and to mimic the person that you're trying to be with. So
I'll tell you what about that movie, dude. I saw it once. I didn't find it very funny. It's not a very, I don't know, man. People love this thing and I just don't find it very funny.
Yeah, I think it's okay, but I agree. People are like, it's like the comedy of the 2000s, and I just definitely don't agree with that. So
cool, man.
All right, what about you, buddy? What do you have there at number four?
At number four, I have one that you might like. And from 1995, I've got Elizabeth Berkley playing Nomi Malone in Showgirls.
Oh.
Now, this little hooker.
Paying attention.
This little tart. She's trying to fit in to her little dance troupe Las Vegas thing. And she's pretty much doing anything she can do to, you know, make it, man. I mean, she's doing all kinds of sexual shit. She's getting plowed in the pool. She's over there trying to. She's even trying to like fit in by talking about Versace, and she calls it Versace. Oh no! But she makes it. She makes it to the top. I mean, she becomes like the lead dancer or whatever it is. She makes it, man. She's really trying hard, and you know, bless her little heart, man. She's over there doing stuff with girls, dudes. Love her. So yeah, no Emma Malone.
Really blame her. You know, I mean, she's doing all right by me. So nice. I like it. That's a very good choice, buddy. She definitely is trying to fit in. All right, my number four. I'm doubling down on an actor. And Seth Green has played a loser that's desperately tried to fit in two movies. So I'm going to throw in two movies here at my number four. I have a tie at number four. So the first one might be a movie you've never heard of. It's from 1993. It's called Airborne. Have you heard of this?
Fuck, what is this?
All right, so let me kind of set the scene for you real quickly on Airborne. So Airborne is about this kid.
Does it involve a dog?
No, it does not. Does not. You're thinking about Air Bud. That's not the same thing. So now, Airborne is about this kid from California. You know, he's a laid-back surfer dude. You know, he likes to blade. And he's from Southern California. And for some reason, his parents like have to leave the country and he can't go with them. So he's shipped off to live with his aunt and uncle and their kid in Cincinnati, Ohio. So when he gets there, obviously, he's just kind of this fish out of water stale. So he's kind of trying to fit in from his like West Coast lifestyle to this. But the big one is Seth Green, who kind of plays this really awkward kind of like loser who also rollerblades. But there's a scene in this movie, man, where they're going to a party. And Seth Green, and the California kid, he's cool. He's just going to wear his, you know, his flannel shirt and T-shirt or whatever. He's not going to. Seth Green has about 50 wardrobe changes, and they kind of, it's like one of those, it's like a makeover scene almost, you know, that he's
like a montage.
Yeah.
Like but Clueless almost.
Everything. Yeah. Like he's a skater dude. It's a cowboy outfit. It's like, you know, like hip hop. Like it's just everything. Like, so this kid's trying to fit in so bad that he has a wardrobe that spreads across the spectrum with a high school group would be, you know.
Airborne, from, huh?
Yeah, Airborne. Not a good movie. Oh, the final rollerblading climax is it's one for the ages, though.
A rollerblading climax, okay. Jesus Christ.
And then my other movie that he's in, you've had to see Can't Hardly Wait.
Of course I have.
So his character in Can't Hardly Wait, I believe his name was Kenny. Kenny Fisher with the you know, the goggle. He basically thinks
he's... Wasn't he in love with, what's her face? The one who got chunky but has a big boobs? What's her name?
No, he wasn't in love with Jennifer Love Hewitt. You're thinking of the other guy. No, Kenny Fisher, like, he basically, he's into the urban scene. He thinks he's Tupac, basically. So,
I love that.
And it's
young Eminem.
A young Eminem. But, you know, he's very urban in this movie. And
urban,
then,
huh? That's what you're going to call it? That's
what I'm
going
to call it. Well, he thinks he's a hip-hop guy, you know? I don't know what else to say. So he thinks he's a hip-hop guy until he gets caught prepping for sex in the bathroom, needless to say, when he drops the act, you know? So, I mean, it's just...
Prepping
it's
for
all,
sex? What does that mean? He's fluffing?
He's like, you know, he's like, he's got the Kama Sutra open. He's like pantomiming the positions. I don't know what he's doing, man. It's just, it's a weird scene. You've seen Can't Hardly Wait. You don't remember it?
I don't remember. Dude, that movie's so forgettable, dude. I just don't remember
I
much.
Watched this movie about 50 times.
What's
probably.
Wrong with you? Why would you do that?
I was in Hawaii, man. I had HBO was on like every other day.
Oh, speaking of HBO, can't wait for Godzilla to come out. Watch Bryan Cranston overact. Watch Taylor Johnson underact. And then watch No Monsters. Can't wait. I'm so excited.
Yay. I get to see the monster on a TV through a TV in the airport. That's the best movie ever, guys.
Oh,
keep up the good work.
Jesus Christ. All right, man. So it takes me to my number three.
Yes.
At number three, I have another one from 1995. 1995 must have been a big year for, you know, people trying to fit in. And I have Brittany Murphy as Ty in Clueless.
Oh, nice.
So she shows up in this film as like this slacker burnout with the flannel and the pot and all that shit. And she really works hard to try to fit in with the cool clique, you know, headed up by Cher, played by Alicia Silverstone.
Right.
And, I mean, she goes from nothing to being, like, the elite status in school, you know what I mean? And
right.
She works really hard at it, and she gets there. I mean, just so such a ridiculous movie, dude. But
Clueless is good.
It's good. I'm saying it's ridiculous, but it's good.
Yeah, it's silly, but it's good.
Yeah, it's very rewatchable. A young, what's his face? Ant-Man is in this.
Oh, yeah. Paul Rudd. I was about to say Paul Reiser. Paul Rudd.
Yeah, young Paul Rudd in this thing, dude. Yeah. But good flick, man. And Brittany Murphy in the house at number
nice.
Three.
All right. All right. My number three is Ben Stiller as Gaylord Fokker from Meet the Parents.
Oh, this God, I'm guy, so glad you have this on here.
Yeah, he just, you know, he comes in out the gate trying to fit in, and it just doesn't work, you know, between the you can't smoke in front of them, and you know, just all the lies. You can milk a cat, and then like it's the brother, you know, he's, oh, little Kim, fat, and he's like, yeah, he's like,
dog,
phat, you know, he has to spell it like, he's I know what I'm saying.
So stupid, so
he's,
man.
Yeah, he's just a mess, man. He tries to fit in throughout. And it just does. I mean, I guess it kind of ends happily for him, but not fitting in doesn't work. He's got to be himself. Right. So.
I mean, he's still, even in the sequels, his fucking dad is all over him, dude. Roll Robin, you're still on his ass.
Man.
That fitting in stuff is really exemplified when he's telling his fucking you could milk a cat story
at the table. Just, the lie just keeps getting deeper.
Oh, God. He's struggling so hard. And you know, I can understand that, man. I mean, you want your father-in-law to your family. You want to
press, right.
Yeah, you want to try. But he's such a hard-ass that he's just – it's not working for him, dude, at all.
That's I can milk – I've got nipples. Can you milk me? That's one of the best – such a good scene.
I would say that Meet the Parents is top five all-time comedies for me. It's so rewatchable. I love that film. Yeah. It never gets old. The shit with Owen Wilson. Oh God, such a great side character. You're in good company with JC.
JC, I love it. It's good stuff.
All right, bro. And number two, if you don't like this movie, you're a fucking communist. And I want you to like, if you're listening to the show and you have something bad to say about this film, please unfollow, unfriend, just turn off the show. I don't want your download numbers. I don't want it at all. Because from 1964, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Hey, look at the beach.
Hey, fire snow.
Rainbow paws.
Right now.
Stop calling me names.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Donner, you should be ashamed of yourself. What a pity. He had a nice takeoff, too.
Oh, no, not you. You better go home with your folks. From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games, right?
He's really working hard to fit in, bro.
Wow.
If you don't like this, you're a communist. You're just an evil person.
You're a horrible person.
There's no good quality about you if you don't like this movie.
There's nothing to dislike about Rudolph.
It's so beautiful, dude. I mean, it comes on every Christmas. It's that stop motion animation. It's just such a heartwarming story. He's struggling. He's even trying to. So he's got this bright red nose, and he tries to cover it up with that like black like coal or whatever. Like,
right.
He even tries to mask who he is. But you know what? He's got that bright shiny nose, man, and he's gonna make it. I mean, he's gonna try to fit in one way or the other. He tries really hard, and in the end, he leads the pack.
He leads him out of the dark. I like it, man. That's a good pick.
Thank you. I mean, he's really working hard to fit in. I mean,
that's a strong defense, but you're so sentimental all of a sudden. This is shocking. I'm honestly kind of surprised that you like this movie. You're kind of usually
Are you crazy? I love this.
You're a cynic, my friend.
I hate Christmas, but I love Rudolph. How does that work?
Okay. That makes sense. I don't know. That doesn't make sense, but if you...
I'm just tired of being forced to buy gifts for people. Like, God dang it. How do I got to go to the store?
Once a year.
But you got birthdays. I got to buy you stuff on your birthday. And then, like, on Mother's Day and Father's Day and birthdays again. And
ending.
Christmas. God dang,
anniversaries.
Man. Yeah, Jesus. Enough. Much. Let up. Valentine's Day, these made-up shit. Sibling's Day just came by. Get out of here that.
Someone told me the other day it was High Five Day. Like, why is that even a thing?
Like, who ever heard of that?
Enough, people. Enough. I don't want to slap strangers' dirty hands, okay? Let's just stop the nonsense.
Now you're being, germophobic. Is that what you're doing?
Like, no, I just don't want to do
go
it.
Go get a beer. Like, I'm watching you on the camera. You're just like, I know. You're licking the
I'll get one. We're almost done here. I'll get one in a minute.
So shameful to watch you struggle. But again, let me reiterate. If you don't like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, stab yourself and stop listening to our show. I'm done with you. It's a piece of Americana. How can you not love that stuff?
I don't know. It's a great movie. I do like it.
All right, brother. Nice. What's your number two?
Short. All right. My number two, I don't want to get too much into, but this is one of the ultimate trying to fit in that does not work. From a little movie from 1983 called Sleepaway Camp.
Oh.
And
for us.
This was one of our bonding movies.
Yes, sir.
There's a character in this. Called Angela, and she's at sleepaway camp, and she initially tries to fit in at camp.
Are you going
to
go spoilers?
No, I'm not going to go spoilers. I'm just going to say she's going to try to fit in at camp, and things happen, and she doesn't quite fit in as well as she had hoped, obviously. So that's all I'll say there. So if you are a fan of horror, especially 80s campy horror,
I'm a fan of horror.
Camp is a must. Horror, not horrors.
Shit. I gotta delete that.
It's good, you know. But yeah, it's good stuff, man. I'm very, very much a fan of Sleepaway Camp, and Angela from it is she's a little bit of a train wreck when trying to fit in. So that's my number two. I'll leave it at that.
I wouldn't call her a train wreck. I mean,
what?
She's determined.
I guess, you know, you can come up with your own
justification for her.
Yeah.
But yeah, big fan of that film. You know what, man? I don't know what happened to it, but I don't have my box set anymore. I used to have the Sleepaway Camp box set, and I don't know what happened to it, man. Like, I've been looking for it for years, dude, and I just can't find it. I think somebody stole it, man. Or I might have lent it to somebody. This is what happens when you lend stuff out.
Never lend your movies out. You'll never get them back.
I just lent out my Star Wars box set to this cretin who had never seen it before. So I don't know. I don't know how that happens.
Was he born fully grown? Was it like The Odd Life of Timothy Green? Like, how was that? I don't understand.
He's like Benjamin Button in reverse. I'm 7, but I look a lot older. All right, bro. So this leads me to my number one. And this is, when we came up with this topic, I think you did, maybe. This is the first thing that came to mind. And it is from 1987, Mr. McDreamy, Patrick Dempsey playing Ronald Donald Miller. In Can't Buy Me Love.
You. You! Even Bobby thinks we went out. Great, huh? Ha! All of you thought we were a couple. What a joke! Ronald Miller paid me $1,000 to pretend I liked him. What a deal, huh? $1,000 to go out with him for a month. This guy. Oh, God. He bought me. And he bought all of you. He was sick and tired of being a nobody. Yeah, and he said that all of you guys would worship him if we went out. And I didn't believe that. I was like, no way. And he was right. No. He was right. Our little plan worked, didn't it, Ronald? A dance. A stupid dance. What a bunch of followers you guys are. I mean, at least I got paid. Come on.
This is an all-time favorite for me. So basically, Ronald Miller is the complete dork. I mean, he's got the horn-rimmed glasses. He's, you know, he's wearing a beret in high school, which, you know, is the calling card of every outcast. And he decides to pay the most popular girl in school $1,000 to pretend that she's dating him. And he believes that this is going to take him to Uber status. And it works. It works. Ronald Miller makes it to elite status. And, I mean, how – do you think this is possible?
Yes. In a high school environment, if you hang out with the popular people, you will become popular. It's a shell. You know what I'm saying? Like, if there's any deep digging, like, it will be exposed. But, like, if you sit at the cool kids' table for a week, you will be considered a cool kid.
No, yeah, man. I agree, man. I think that, especially in high school, we're also shallow that we're, fuck it, man. We're just going to go with this.
Oh, yeah. That's the most segmented place you could ever go is high school.
What happened to the chick who played the girl? I forget her name. Mancini was her last name, but I can't remember her first name. But
I don't know.
Whatever happened to her? She was like the 80s darling, man. I loved her. I had this big crush on her. I think she like retired.
She got over 25 and Hollywood spit her out. Can't sit here.
But yeah, man, I love Can't Buy Me Love, dude. It's a classic for me, man. So what do you got number one, brother?
It's ironic that you have Can't Buy Me Love because my number one is the remake of that.
How can this be on your number one? He makes it.
It's so like what he does is so horrible. And this movie is so horrible. And that's why it's my number one. So, Love Don't Cost a Thing, Nick Cannon stars as Alvin Johnson. Same movie, Look it up on IMDb. There's, you know how IMDb kind of scrolls through the like pictures of the movie?
Right.
There's a picture of Nick Cannon in what can only be talked about as like a girl's like a cut off yoga shirt. Like, I mean, basically like his lower rib cage is exposed.
Oh,
and
no.
He's wearing like a Burberry scarf and like a Burberry bandana. Like, I mean, it's too much. Like, once he finally fits in, like Patrick Dempsey is kind of like, he's still nerdy, you know, but this movie, it kind of like, he throws it into overdrive with kind of like, all of a sudden he is cool, which I don't think has actually happened in Can't Buy Me Love. Like, he's still like, he does the African Anitor dance, right? He still kind of doesn't know how to be cool. He just,
right.
People see him as cool, but that doesn't happen in this movie. he thinks he's cool, and he kind of kicks it up a notch, and it's just too much, and it's a horrible remake of, like you said, a great 80s classic. So that's why I've got to throw it on my list at number one. It doesn't deserve to be made.
Isn't like Christina Milian the love interest here?
I believe so, yes.
Oh god, why would you I'm tired of these fucking remakes, man.
Stop it.
I'm just absolutely tired of them, man. Like, just get it out of here. That's a movie that should have never been remade. But great choice, even though I disagree.
Sure?
I disagree how you're fitting it in. I disagree.
I don't give a shit. It's my list.
No, it's not a very good one.
I'll make it 1 through 5. How about that?
I should have taken the pole position. You're not good.
You take the pole every chance you get.
Can you go get a beer, please? For the love of God. I'm watching you.
I know. There's nothing left.
Do you have any honorable mentions?
I have two.
Okay.
I have two.
Good. What do you got?
So I actually have Wyatt and Gary from Weird Science.
Oh God, what great choices!
There's a couple of scenes,
but they make it though. Like that, you mean?
Yeah, but they make it on their own terms, right? They make it by being themselves, not
changing.
By being the cool hip kids. Yeah,
I would have taken her down in that shower like nobody's business.
And see, that's not making it. When you're showering with Kelly LeBrock and you keep on your fucking Chuck Taylors and your sweatpants, you're not making it, my friend. You are the president of Loserville. That is embarrassing to everyone.
Robert Downey Jr. throwing Slurpees on you. Get out of here.
He was so great. And my other one, this one is the only reason it's on the honorable mentions is because it really irks me. So from the original X-Men Rogue, how she kind of wants to, you know, like she kisses a boy, basically steals his soul. So she's a succubus, right? She takes his power into
succubus.
Her. And then and she kind of goes on the lam. She really hates this power. Bitch, you've got one of the best X-Men powers there is. Like, you can be like, you can just take anything you want. Like, that's why would not I would abuse.
How does this
power.
How is this fitting in? Like,
well,
I don't
because
know.
she doesn't want that power, so she tries to go on the lam and just be like a normal person. She tries to fit in, and the reason it's lame is because she has an awesome mutation. And
so
she
you like her, you want to be a succubus. That's what you're telling me right now. You want to be
I
a succubus.
I already am a succubus, but I just, no one will kiss me, so I can't suck it out of them. So it's horrible.
I know a couple dudes that'll kiss you.
I'm always
passionately.
Down. I'm always down.
All right, bro.
You got any honorable mentions?
I do. Mean Girls from 2004. Amanda Seyfried's character is really trying to fit in. Oh, who I have a big time crush on. Love her deeply. But it kind of fell into my criteria of maybe a little bit undercover because she's trying to kind of still hang with her nerd friends, but she's going.
Amanda Seyfried's one of the plastics.
No.
Yes.
Who's the main one?
Lindsay Lohan's the main.
Oh, Lindsay Lohan. I'm sorry. You're right. I just watched. Wow.
The list isn't very good.
I know. Sorry. But it's honorable mention. It didn't make my list. So Lindsay Lohan, she's kind of going undercover.
She is going undercover.
I do have a crush on Amanda Seyfried, though.
I'm there, buddy. Do you have a crush on Lindsay Lohan?
No, she has no teeth. She doesn't have teeth, and I don't like that very much. And you know me and teeth. You got to at least have them. And Tina, this is derailing quickly. Teen Wolf. I mean, especially once he wolfs out. I mean, he's working hard.
Oh, he's definitely trying to fit in when he wolfs out.
Yeah.
He's doing it to fit in. Yeah,
exactly. So it was just a little too on the nose for me. But I really enjoyed making this list, dude, because I went through it and I was like, man, this is a fucking great selection, dude.
It's fun. There's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of other really small bit pieces, like even from Can't Hardly Wait, the nerd guy, like when he goes to the party trying to drink, you know, the beer's gone bad. Like, that's a great trying to fit in scene and stuff like that. There's a lot to mine here. But coming up from a negative aspect is a little bit more difficult. You're really kind of trying to find, you know.
Yeah, you kind of want to find where it fails.
Where it fails. And it doesn't always fail because, you know, Hollywood doesn't like to make sad endings. So
nope, not at all. All right. Good list. Had fun doing it.
I got to get a beer.
You've been licking the fucking cup for like an hour. Let's go get beers, and then we'll come back and we'll do our big review. I'm excited to do this one with you, dude, because I'm interested in your thoughts about
all right,
while we're young.
While we're young.
While we're young. All right.
Why do you suddenly want to hang out with a couple of 25-year-olds?
We were just 25. I mean, we weren't, but, you know.
We're the boring couple with a baby. What have you guys been doing?
We met this interesting couple.
You came!
He's a young documentarian, and she makes ice cream.
How old are they? 25, 26,
27.
They're children.
Yeah, 9 years ago, they couldn't vote.
I love his shoes. I have some wingtips here somewhere. I stopped wearing them when I got shin splints.
What kind of class is this again? Hip-hop.
And true gangsters don't speak.
Something about being around them that energizes you.
You have arthritis in your knee.
Arthritis? Arthritis?
Yes, I usually just say it once.
I remember when this song was just considered bad. But it's working.
All right, guys, we've got our beers refilled, refreshed, and ready to go. And we are excited about discussing the new Noah Baumbach film, Barry the Hipster That He Is. It was first in line to see this while we are young. Starring Ben Stiller, Naomi Watts, Adam Driver, Amanda Seyfried, my love, the object of my affection, the King Ad-Rock, and Mr. Charles Grodin. So, Barry, I'm going to give you a thought real quick, and I want you to go ahead and see if you're on board. This movie is for us and about us. Do you agree?
I can see how you can come to that conclusion, but I don't agree that it's for me.
Mm.
What was your comment about Birdman and Iñárritu? It's 2 hours of him complaining about critics.
That's right. It's 2 hours of him complaining about everything, basically. Yep. Critics, the system.
So this is 95 minutes of Noah Baumbach doing the exact same thing.
You're fucking kidding me. Complaining about who? Complaining about what?
He's complaining about the younger generation, how much easier they have it, how what they do isn't making film.
I disagree.
Oh, no, it's the same thing, my friend. And then the problem is it's a generational gap movie, right? He has a problem with the generational thing, how things have changed. And the end of this movie showcases that more than anything else. But if you look back through time, like that's every next generation, the generation that comes before them hates them. You know, our parents hated our music, our grandparents hated their music, and so on and so forth, back to when cavemen were clacking rocks together. Like, this isn't nothing new. He's not coming up with something clever and ingenious. He's pissing and moaning that, oh, these young hipsters are just they're so hip and cool, and they don't have to try, and they just, if you film everything, it's not, shut up, you pissing and moaning old man. Fucking take your arthritis, deal with it, and just let these fucking douchebags be douchebags. Be your own person. Stop buying fedoras trying to fit in, and everything will be okay.
Oh, boy. See, I completely disagree. I really enjoyed this film. This movie is about us, and it's for us. It touches on parenthood, getting older.
It touches on parenthood. I agree there.
The struggles and the succubus that is parenthood.
There's honestly...
I understand what you're saying about, like, right, he's bitching about the younger generation, but to me, that's just a sliver of the film.
Film's based on.
There's so much more. It's about, like, that internal, like, look of that almost midlife crisis thing that people go through. People like us, I mean, we're kind of getting to that, the cusp of that. Hell, we're living that shit, dude. You know, we're married, we have kids, we have responsibilities. We can't just go out and get drunk all night, which I did last night anyways, but thanks to the wife for letting me out. it talks about film appreciation and the struggles and the pains of creating something. It talks about professional failure, something I kind of really identify with, and like the big thing is like the fucking world isn't fair. Like shit is also like really touch on. The thing about this film is I think it's trying to do a little too much. Like he's talking about too many things at once. It's like 20 different conversations going on in my head, and it becomes a little, it teeters that line of becoming muddled, but
it's almost like Ben Stiller's movie. right, that he's trying to cut together. Like, he's like, no, we've got to talk about the Turkish whatever, because that leads to the heartbeat of the movie, which is some random. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I do see what you're saying, and I completely agree. I do think this movie is about more things, but to me, it felt like he was just complaining the whole time. He's complaining about parenthood, right? On both sides.
As he should. Fucking, well, I agree, but it's hard.
You know what? You could have pulled out, brother. You know, like, you don't have to go through with it.
I don't know.
But I do
so
agree.
So good, though. It feels so good.
Just a tip. Just, no.
Oh.
I do agree. I think this movie, it is more about than him just complaining about the younger generation. I do agree. There is an aspect of getting older and dealing with your professional life and where you hope to be and where you're not, and how that kind of affects not only yourself, but the people that you're in relationships with. I agree. It's about a lot more than that. But it felt like to me he was just kind of complaining the whole time. I mean, the thing about parenthood I really did find interesting, and I didn't know where the movie was eventually going to come down on parenthood, because I do feel like it is pretty realistic when it talks about parenthood, right? Like, when you don't have kids and you hang out with someone that does, like, it's hard not to talk about your kids. It's just hard not to.
Oh,
like,
hey, bro, I've been that guy in the bar who shows pictures of the kids. I was that guy last night. I was over there fucking with Optimus Solo and Handy Candy Mandy. I'm like, here's my kids, here's my wife, like, scrolling through the iPhone, showing them pictures of the family.
Yeah, it's tough to not. But
and they're like, yeah. I don't know.
I got to do a shot. Let's.
Yeah, can we get the SoCo back out?
Yeah, no, I agree. So, I mean, I thought the parenthood stuff was very interesting. Some of the, you know, for me too, the thing was, though, I didn't like a lot. I didn't like any of the characters in this movie.
I knew you wouldn't. And especially for me, I agree with you. Like, they painted the hipsters so, with such a heavy brush. Like, the first 20 or 30 minutes, I wanted to throw my Coke at the screen, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I really did. When he's talking about his wedding in a water tower with a mariachi man and a slip and slide, I was like, fuck you, man. Like, God almighty. And I was almost offended that that Ben Stiller and Naomi Watts go to this hipster party, like this kind of like cookout, and one of the hipsters is wearing a Dan Marino jersey.
See, because you know he's wearing that shit fucking ironically. And
And I wanted to cut him. Just cut him right in the neck. Just let him bleed out right there in the street. Fuck you, man. But and they do cut it. He does paint the hipsters with a big heavy brush. The chicken, who has a chicken for a pet in a cage?
Inside. And like, who has an apartment? Like, you and I have been to New York. We know how expensive. Who has a place that big in New York?
No one. Unless maybe he was in Harlem or something.
Man, I don't even know if you can get that shit in Harlem, bro. That was like the top floor of a building. Like, that was a massive place.
Yeah, like, so what? The bitch makes ice cream and he's doing films and he's got that. I mean, we digress. That's like a nitinoid shit. Yeah. You're right. I didn't like the characters. I didn't like Ben Stiller's jealousy. Yeah, his jealousy and his pettiness and his unwillingness to like to be a team player or to like share and be caring.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's being manipulated the whole time.
But he was that way before. Like, even his relationship with Naomi Watts, like his father-in-law, like just that whole like.
It's frustrating, dude, to see like somebody that obtuse.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he is. He just will not bend. I mean, he's just a very small person. I just didn't like it. And I one thing I didn't understand was, what the fuck does Naomi Watts see in him if he's such a dick?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the thing about that, I feel like relationships are always so tough because people do change so much, and then you're just together.
Not Rocky. Rocky doesn't want to change.
Rocky's shaken. He loses all his money. He's not the same man that he was early on. I'm just saying.
Okay.
But maybe in here he is, but up there he's a little slow.
I just like what this movie's like. I like the discussion. Like, I just enjoyed it. Like, I enjoyed the way they did it. I wasn't completely sold on the film, but I really enjoyed it. This is not something I could like openly like share with friends. Like, hey, you should go watch while we're young. No. This is going to work for a very small sliver of people who are kind of either on one side or the other.
Hipsters or,
you know, over the hill, fucking saddled with kids and da 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 da. I enjoyed it. I mean, I like the conversation. I like I like things that highlight where I'm at. You know what I mean? So.
No, I do think it is. It does paint a picture of people that are maybe slightly older than us, but we do fall into that category for sure.
Ben Stiller has a line that, where he says, "The only two feelings I have left are wistful and disdainful." Come on, buddy.
I only have one left. You know what it is.
Yeah. Come on, bro. I mean, he's just a bitter guy looking at the past like, oh, I wish I could still be there.
That
doesn't resonate with you?
No, it does. And the thing about this movie, too, that does kind of resonate, that's interesting, is the character, the conversation that Naomi Watts and Ben Stiller have constantly about the freedom that not having kids affords them, but yet they don't take advantage of it, you know?
Which pissed me off.
They're in bed at 10 o'clock, you know, they don't go on like kind of, they seem to be doing okay for themselves. They don't take vacations. They just kind of, they do nothing, you know, but it's like, yeah, you could really, like you order in Chinese food, you know, like it just take advantage. But yeah, Naomi Watts, like I
love her. She's hot.
You like her in this?
I like her physically. That's all I'm saying. She's okay. I think in the first half she's doing all right. And then, you know, they kind of disappear from her. Like they kind of go away from her, so she really is just kind of like a vessel, like a tool
for Ben Stiller
and the other guy and Adam Driver. What do you think about Adam Driver? The new Sith Lord or whatever the fuck he is.
I think he's trying to be Bobby Cannavale. Like he's trying to be that guy that you like no matter what. Like even
Bobby
Cannavale
has it inherently in his blood.
So Bobby Cannavale is naturally that. I think Adam Driver's trying to be that.
He was that character in the film we reviewed with Bateman.
With the family.
He was that guy too. I mean, I've not seen Girls, and I've heard that his role is something similar to that in Girls.
But I did. I mean, I hated the hipster douchebag with, you know, like there's a reason we don't watch VHS tapes anymore. They look like
that
shit.
Was bad. The Howling, like, when they fucking go to put the get the Howling wasn't good on the big screen. Howling is not going to be good on a fucking Betamax in 2015.
Right. No, it's not going to be good. So like the character he played, I disliked, but I thought he played him very well. I think he's a good actor. I do think he's a good actor, but I don't know how much range he has because the few things I've seen him in, he plays essentially the same character.
Well, he better be fucking getting some range because I don't want him to messing up Star Wars. Just don't speak then. Just swing the lightsaber around. I think that one thing that did fail in this movie is the music. Especially when they use "Who Shot Ya" by Tupac and his crew. I'm like, I love that song, and that song is big on my playlist, but that shit didn't fit where they were trying to squeeze it in. Like, I understand when she first gets that awkward sort of thing going, but then they let it play throughout the whole juxtaposition of the two lives. It just didn't fit at all. Like, it was just such a poor choice. But Eye of the Tiger rears its ugly head.
I showed up again this week. I did
perfectly
enjoy that.
Used. Too perfectly used. Trying to motivate the guy.
What did I say, right? If I'm going to go rob a bank, you know, if I'm going to go in for a job, it pumps you up, man. It does what it does.
I like this movie, man. I also like...
Really?
I really did. I like Ad Rock's character. I really liked his character because he's telling it like it is. Who?
Who did you say?
Ad Rock. King Ad Rock from the Beastie Boys.
Okay.
You know who he was?
Yeah, he was the dad.
The dad, yeah. It's King Ad-Rock.
Yeah, no, okay. I just didn't. I was like, what?
Come on, buddy.
Confused for a second.
You're a child of the '80s. You need another Beastie
Boys.
I'm
drunk. I'm looking at my half-empty beer and thinking I'm gonna nurse it so I don't get yelled at again.
Oh Jesus Christ! Yeah, see, you're living while we're young right now. you can't even have a beer. But I really enjoyed it. I like what they were doing. I liked what they were talking. I thought it was well acted. I thought Ben Stiller. I think the casting choices were really good. You know,
I wish Amanda Seyfried would have had a bigger role.
Ooh, I would have liked some stuff.
Maybe a nude role, perhaps.
Go watch Chloe. It's always a good time.
We should review that. I mean,
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'll do it. Chloe.
Next week,
10,
Chloe.
10 out of 10. But yeah, man, do you want to do spoilers real quick?
Let's talk a little bit about spoilers. We'll give final grades and then we'll give some spoilers.
Sounds good. All right, so I'll lead it off. I really enjoyed it. I like the conversation. I agree with what he's trying to say. I thought it was pretty well acted. I Adam Driver, if it is his shtick, his shtick fits well in this role. Ben Stiller, what I was trying to say about casting, I like what they did. Like, they cast this Beastie Boy crazy man in the soccer mom guy, right?
Yeah.
And then they cast...
He's going to stay home and be the stay-at-home dad.
They play on Ben Stiller's kind of persona of kind of Mr. Square guy,
Mr. does the family-friendly
films, Mr. Yeah. Neurotic. They put him right into that role and play with it. And then, you know, Adam Driver also, he's been doing those same kind of hipstery roles. You know, they play with it a lot. And I liked all of that, man. It really worked for me. It had me kind of introspective when I was done. Like, damn,
okay.
Can I be a better person? Can I kind of, you know, maybe fit into my role a little bit better,
right,
et cetera, et cetera. So I give this an 8 out of 10.
I'm sorry. Can you say that number again?
I'll give this an 8 out of 10. Really enjoyed it.
8 out of 10.
It works for me, dude. Especially the struggle of creating the film, like that frustration of doing it, I really relate to it now. Yeah, we're creating something here, dude, and on our podcast.
It's tough every week to come up with stuff. It is. But I mean, I agree.
I love doing it, and it's a passion thing. You know what I mean? Like, even though it's not as far-reaching as doing a film is, even though it's this crazy documentary film that nobody will probably see, I envy that. Like, but at the same time, I relate to him because I relate to that, like, struggle of staying passionate about it and putting it together and being fearless enough to just put it out there, man. Right. A lot of motherfuckers, even if it's just a little podcast, a lot of people don't do this, like don't have the balls to put their voice out there and just, we're talking about this stuff. So I kind of related to them. So I, you know, once you start talking to me on screen like that, I get suckered in. So 8 out of 10 for me, brother.
Okay. Well, for me, like I said, we've already mentioned some of the things I didn't like. I didn't really like any of the characters. I felt like Ben Stiller's character in particular was a person that maybe got lucky with his first movie that was kind of met with moderate success.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, the description of his pretentious documentary just drove me up the wall.
Oh,
so it's,
boy. He can't even describe it.
He can't describe it. You know, I equate that to the guy that, like, you always see those kind of flash in the pan, the guy that writes one book and then he can't follow it up. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody kind of has that one thing in them. And I felt like this is kind of what Ben Stiller's character was. But I do see what you're saying about relating to that, like trying to be creative and still trying to stick with it. and for me, I didn't really like the way the movie kind of ended up. I felt like there was a lot of shifts that I didn't feel like fit with what was going on. So I didn't really enjoy that. But the only reason this gets a 4 out of 10 for me is because I see the man's jersey, and 1 and 3 equals 4, so 13 for me gives this movie a 4 out of 10. Because if it would be for this,
really,
I just didn't like. I, you know what? Maybe a second viewing would be better for me. Maybe if I could go in with the eyes of he's talking to me, this is where we're at.
You should really watch as a kid.
For me, I just don't like anybody. But I do agree. I think it is the success, the family, those aspects I do think ring true.
It's tough.
But I dislike Ben Stiller the whole time he's talking about
it. Yeah, but
so it's tough
that's what I'm saying. Like, he's supposed to be you. He's supposed to be you looking at your frustration in life. Like,
then I hate me too. Then I don't.
And I hate you too. I mean, you should hate yourself. No, I mean, but that's the point. You want to like look at yourself with a critical eye.
Okay.
And I don't think he's complaining. I think he's looking at himself critically, like, where am I at in life?
He's pissing and moaning
about himself, though, and I think that's
so
beautiful.
Easier,
it's not know. About everybody else. He's bitching and moaning about himself, and that to me is important and something that should be done.
Doesn't come, but I still think he looks in at himself, but there's also still a lot of finger pointing that happens.
Well, fuck yeah, man. Fuck those hipsters, man. And
it's
the
just
whole
not
thing,
even hipster. It's just a whole younger generation.
Oh, God, you're so stupid.
Right, let's get to spoilers.
You're just not a very good film critic.
Okay.
Apparently. All right, so spoilers.
Why don't you dig deep in another bullshit? How about that? Why don't you tell me why Francis Ha is such a good movie?
I hated Francis Ha. You know me, man. I'm straight up. I did not like that. So
you do some interpretive dance for me.
I'll do it right now. African anteater ritual. I'll pull out my anteater and dance it in front of you.
I don't want to see it.
It'll suction cup like a catfish on you. Spoilers forthcoming for While We're Young.
That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police.
All right, bro. So what do you think, man? What are you going to talk about?
I will say, for, I guess for me, one of the other things too is I really did wish that, and even Ben Stiller talks about it, like that when he comes back to his father-in-law's, achievement speech or whatever it is, whatever award he got, and he kind of exposes Adam Driver for basically a fraud, right? Like he's claiming this thing's a documentary, but it's all completely set up, and like none of like the stories aren't true, they're not his, and it's a fabrication of real events, but he's kind of it becomes a fiction movie, right? I mean, and maybe every fiction story is kind of started in truth somewhere, and I mean Adam Driver kind of says that if I hear a story, it's mine to use. You know, he kind of absorbs experiences and situations and uses them for himself. But I really did wish there would at least be some comeuppance for Adam Driver's character. Just
but
some.
He's not doing anything wrong.
No, he is though.
What is he doing?
He's using Ben Stiller.
He's okay. I got that, but he's not doing it in a whole because he's.
But he's not being vicious with it. But I mean,
he still does like Ben Stiller.
And then my other thing that I didn't like too is hit like Adam Driver and Amanda Seyfried's relationship. I mean, namely, what's even comments? You used to look at me like that. We used to be like that, and it just turns out of nowhere, and it just completely sours, like. Naomi Watts talks about how Adam Driver and Amanda Seyfried are such a cute couple, and like he looks at her so lovingly, and then it just turns out of nowhere. Like when he previews his movie, and like they kind of have that little tussle, and like, it just turns like they're basically at the end of the movie they're broken up. Like it just turns on a dime, and it doesn't make any sense. There's no background to why that would happen. Like
to why Amanda Seyfried and what's his name?
Right. Yes,
because the gig is. I mean. The fraud is up. I mean,
that whole relationship was a fraud. Like that wasn't real. They didn't really get married in a fucking empty water tower with a slip and slide.
Or in a mariachi band.
Like they seem to have a genuine relationship, and it just turns into nothing.
Okay, I agree with you. Then.
It's little stuff like that I just didn't like, and I feel like it felt throughout.
There is a little lacking in the depth of the characters between Adam Driver and Amanda Seyfried. Yeah, I do see what you're saying, bro.
And real quick too, I don't want to steal your thunder, but the hipster roommate with the like some college I didn't go to T-shirt and the whatever band T-shirt, like. Just get hit by a train like that.
I mean, I agree with you, but that's the point. That
fuck her. Get hit by a train.
He's Noah Baumbach is trying to make you.
I hope she does get hit by a train.
After I blast her one time.
She, you girl, so skinny. Ooh, liked it.
Yeah, you know
about
me.
That treble. You know me.
yeah, man. As when I'm done with her, I thought there was gonna be like some freak shit going on. Like when she comes out, I was like, ooh, this.
She came out of those panties. I was like, it's about to get good.
This party's about to get started. Yes, sir.
Let's and the up. Shaman. What did? We're in spoilers. Really, the spoiler. Mr. Peru. What did you think about the ayahuasca?
Oh god, that was such a great scene. Oh, dude. What the fuck was the point of that? Like, I understand the point of it in the movie, like they're experimenting and they're trying to do weird things. But what is the point of it in real life? Like, what are you trying to do? Like,
they say that stuff will really like reset your brain, bro. Like, you'll just drop off your old other shit and like start anew.
Fuck you, man. Is it?
I don't know. I mean, I've not done it. That's just what I've heard. So.
I drink heavily every night, and I don't reset.
Yeah, bro. This is.
Parenthood. I just wake up in tears, like, oh, regretting the shit that I fell down at the bar with Handy Candy Mandy.
Like, Jesus. They're probably like, God, never again.
Yeah,
that old guy fell down in a bar. We'll have to bring a walker next time.
It's like, damn it, he tripped. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He sat there and drooled over a fucking piece of meat at the fucking end of the night. When he does the confrontation at the very end, when he goes at the whatever, like the, what it was, like the honoring of the father-in-law. Yeah. That was so uncomfortable to watch because I sided with Ben Stiller, but I knew it the whole time that, like, fuck, man, you have no leg to stand on, bro. You're just bitching and moaning. You're pointing the finger at Adam Driver, but in reality, you should be pointing the finger at yourself. Like, he is the cause of his own frustration. He couldn't make it. He couldn't settle down and buck up and cut his film properly. He can't take good critiques. He can't. He's just, like, afraid of rejection.
He can't take any chance. Yeah, he can't make any adjustment.
It's his own fucking fault, and he dumps it on Adam Driver. Yeah, Adam Driver's a douche. Yes, he's an asshole. But the real villain for Ben Stiller is Ben Stiller.
I agree with that.
You know, it was so uncomfortable to watch, and it worked. It's what he's going for. Baumbach is trying to make you uncomfortable of looking at that fool, because that fool is you, bro. It's me too. I mean, shit.
And maybe that's why I don't like. Maybe I don't like thinking.
You don't like a motherfucker throwing things at you?
Maybe not.
But he's doing it in a good way, because he's also doing it himself, I feel, because, you know, Baumbach is getting to be a gentleman of that age. I'm sure he's got kids and family, and he's a very introspective guy from what I heard, you know, from what I read during research.
Right. I mean, no, I think this movie is Noah Baumbach kind of exploring himself, kind of saying a situation that maybe he feels like he's in. Maybe not. And I mean, success is always personal, but it's also self-defined, right? So Ben Stiller thinks that I just want to make a documentary, and maybe people kind of enjoyed success, or maybe the next level of success is an Oscar or whatever. Right. And maybe Noah Baumbach feels that same way, right? Like, he's independent. We'll say he's an independent filmmaker, kind of, right? He makes these small movies, kind of these niche movies.
Yeah.
Maybe his success is to have While We're Young be the $70 million.
I don't think he gives a fuck about that kind of stuff. Maybe
he doesn't give a fuck, but maybe secretly he wants that. Maybe he wants to be called to direct Ant-Man 2. I mean, you don't know. I mean,
I think he's shooting more for Woody Allen than he's shooting for fucking.
I think he is too.
Than Michael Bay.
But okay, well, would you consider any Noah Baumbach movie to be nearly as popular as one of Woody Allen's shitty movies?
Shitty movies are really shitty.
But they're not as well received as still. So I don't know. But I agree. I mean, I see what you're saying. Like I said, I will rewatch this.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it a second chance and see. Like I said, because I do agree that there are a lot of aspects that talk directly to us, people our age. But it was hard for me to get past the characters. And maybe if I can ignore that the second time around.
Your vicious hate for the hipster is just resonating. It's eating you up.
Fucking fedora that Adam Driver wears the whole time. I just wanted to pull it down over his head fedora. Like a hockey game. Just pull it down over his and just
everything but. That they lob at us. Like, for instance, he has his record collection. Fuck you. I've got it all on my MP3 player. I don't care. But he starts then he starts playing like a song from Lionel Richie that I really love. I'm like, dude, I love Lionel Richie. Like, all right, cool. Yeah. But it just man, he was so frustrating. The whole thing of like, why don't we just not know the answer? Fuck you. I got an iPhone right here. I want to know the answer.
Yeah, it's not. It's better to not know. No, it's not. No, you know, not. Like, not at like all. Life has changed. We can look shit up now. You exactly. know, like it's
called evolution, buddy. Yeah. It exists.
Yeah. Go have your baby in a fucking wheat field in Idaho, you fucking hipster douchebag. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a reason hospitals were invented.
Carry it home better. In a hemp sack.
All right,
bro. We are going to agree to disagree on this one.
All right, that's fine.
But, by the way, one last note. I want to get that iPhone case with the brass knuckles. I want that thing.
It did look cool.
That was fucking badass. Cool. But yeah, man, let's agree to disagree. Next week, I have no idea.
Ex Machina is coming out wide next week.
Okay, let's
supposedly.
Do it.
So
Ex Machina.
I'm going to call it Ex Machina from now on. Ex Machina is coming out next week.
You classless cretin.
I'm a hipster. I do what I want to do. X Machine is coming out next week, and I think we got a good list, right? We're talking about doing second generation actors.
Nepotism at its finest.
Are we gonna do straight father son, or do you want to do family, like acting families?
I don't know, man. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah, but it's gonna be somewhere along the seams. So hopefully Ex Machina will come out.
Machina. It's a play on the Latin thing. Deus Machina.
I'm not Latin.
God, you're so stupid.
I'm a gringo. As white as they come, baby.
Latin, not Latino. Latin.
Oh, damn
like.
It. I didn't know. I thought I'm hanging out with you. Everything's I add the O.
You want to add
everything to me? You know what I'm saying?
You think it came from some salsa dance class or something? What are you talking about?
I got some guacamole right here, buddy. I'm ready.
Ugh. All right, man. Well, I had a good time with this one. Hopefully, people will actually listen to the show, because I know this movie's not exactly
back to back weeks, right? We did.
Yeah, there's nobody in the superhero. And there's nobody in a cape in this, or whatever. But
I'm, I am glad we saw it, because I do think this show makes it fun for me, because I would never see a movie like this without doing this show. So
really?
I like. I mean, I wouldn't go seek it out. Like, I'd probably see it when it came out. Maybe when it was streaming on Netflix, I'd check it out. But I wouldn't go to the movie theater to see this, I don't think.
Well, good, man. Then we're fucking doing something right.
Yeah, so, good.
All right, bro.
Till next week, buddy. Oh, by the way, my second beer. Have you had this? It's a Blue Moon Summer Honey Wheat.
I've had it.
Good. It's good stuff. I like it. Yeah.
Good.
But, all right, buddy. See you next week.
All right, bro.
So if by the time the bar closes and you feel like falling down, I'll carry you home tonight.